in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Lord had just finished once again giving a challenge to his disciples to share the message of the gospel. And verse 9 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." That was the end of the angel's message. He didn't say, go tell people. He didn't have to. The Lord had already laid out for the disciples what they were supposed to do. You know, it wasn't surprising that they were looking up into heaven. If you and I had been there and we saw the Lord going up, we'd have just looked. And it wasn't wrong. It isn't wrong this morning for us to sit here in Grace Baptist Church and thank the Lord for all he's done through our mission program. That's all right. It's all right for us to sit here and say this morning, at some time on this Sunday, maybe earlier or later because of the differences of time around the world, there are hundreds of people gathering to worship the Lord because of the mission program. And it's all right to enjoy that, but not for too long, you see. Because this same Jesus who brought our salvation by his death and resurrection is coming back. And he's coming back the same way he left. I hadn't been there very long, and we had just moved back into the interior. And there was a man down on the coast that we called the mayor. Now, there wasn't any town there, but he was over the whole tribe. He was responsible to the president for the actions of the tribe. And he was not a believer, but, you know, everybody loved my wife. And he knew her, and his wife knew her, and they loved her, and it gave us a tremendous opportunity to work unhindered because of my wife's ministry there. And but word came up one day that if I had time, and I didn't need to hurry, and it could happen whenever I wanted, would I stop and see the mayor? Being duly interpreted meant get down here as fast as you can. And the tide was low, so we couldn't use our outrigger canoe, so I walked down. It was about an hour away from the coast, and the mayor was sort of around there talking with friends. And as we do in the Philippines, we talked about a lot of different things. And then his friends wandered away. And he said, "I want to tell you about your people." I knew I was in trouble right away because whenever the Palawanos did something wrong, they were my people. He said, "I need to tell you something about your people." He said, "You see that village up there?" And he pointed way up onto the side of the mountain. No one lived right on the peaks. But they were up there at least a day and a half. He said, "Those people think Jesus is coming back." And he laughed a little bit. And I said, "Well, Mayor, I think he's coming back too." He said, well, yes. That's the way he always answered me. He didn't want to contradict the scripture. But he said, "They think he might come today." And I said, "Well, Mayor, I think he might come today too." He said, well, yes. But he said, "You see, the problem, they aren't working." He said, "They're singing that song over and over again, and they're talking to each other about how they've changed." And he said, I know they've changed. And then they're praying, and then they will send somebody out into the clearing, and he'll look up, see if Jesus is coming. And he said, "Pretty soon, the whole village is going to be hungry." So I talked to him for a while and said that we would take care of my people, because if they did something good, they were his people. And we had to send messages up. Yes, Jesus is coming. But we need to work while we're waiting for him. And, you know, their whole doctrinal statement was probably about four lines long. They'd never held scripture in their hand. If you see our New Testament out there, it took over a year just to do the alphabet, and about 10 years and $15,000 to do the translation, and we were able to do it that fast because we had a number of other Christians come in to help us. And translating into a new language can often take 20 years for a whole New Testament to be completed. So they were a long way from having any scripture. And, you know, we might smile at what they don't know. But let's ask ourselves this morning, when did we last look up and say he might come today? And my dad, who was one of the finest Christians that I ever knew, would write to me once a week. We would only get mail. We're supposed to get it once a month, but sometimes it would be 6 or 7 weeks before somebody carried it into the jungle, and I'd have his letters. He would always sign them same way, love, Dad, and underneath in big, bold letters, keep looking up. These folks didn't know much, but they knew that Jesus was coming back. And they would do all they could to please him. And so this morning, when did we last look up? Okay. We start tomorrow after this wonderful missionary conference. And will we start the month, the week out by saying, I wonder if he's coming today? How will that affect the way I live? When I was a small boy, there were things as a Christian family that we didn't do that everybody else did. And I would every once in a while really like to do one of those things. And I would go to my dad and say, well, Dad, everybody's doing it. And he would say to me, how would you feel if you were doing it and Jesus came back? Okay. It makes us look at things just a little bit differently. We thank the Lord for all he's done for us. And this morning is a morning of decision for everyone. God's blessed us for all these days. Now he wants to touch our hearts. And, you know, he just wants us to go a little further than we've been going. Just a little bit. Over in Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. You know, just a little bit. You know, all of you who are with me, just go over there. Just take a step a little bit further. See, that morning they probably planned to come out and hear the Lord speak. And that faithful group around him thought they'd be there all day, but Jesus said, no, wait a minute, just go over here. You know, that's all. And in verse 21 and 22, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. The Lord was not being unkind here, but the expression among the Hebrews, to bury your father, meant to take care of all the business, make sure that things kept going. Make sure the family had support. Make sure that all the things that were under your father's charge were now taken care of. And the Lord was saying, well, you let those who don't have anything better to do take care of those earthly pursuits. I want you to follow me. Okay. We say this morning, Lord, I've been doing quite a bit. And the Lord says, just a step further. Just a step further. And what will we tell him? I'd like to, Lord, but I'm kind of busy here. Huh? But the Lord's just saying to us this morning, as we think about decisions we need to make, just inconvenience yourself a little bit for me. Just a little bit. Pray a little more. Give a little more. Witness to that person that you've really begun to. Invite that family to church again for maybe the fifth or sixth time. Just a little bit more. We begin to serve the Lord. We never know where we're going to end up. But it's just a one step at the beginning. Just a little more than we've been doing. I always smile. I like to have good sanitary facilities. You know, hot and cold running water and all the rest. And the Lord dumped us in the middle of the jungle in a grass house that didn't have anything running. And my wife made out fine. She cooked on a little gasoline, former gasoline can, and had picked up somewhere in the city an iron oven. And we always had good bread, as long as the flour didn't run out. She had birthday cakes for everybody. She had no problem, but I struggled with this primitive kind of stuff, you know. And I was just really getting comfortable when the New Testament was finished and the Lord moved us out into the city. We never know what God's going to do, but He knows. He always does what's right. It might not make any sense to us, but it does to Him. And this morning, the Lord is asking us to take a little step. Let's not be like this man that was with the Lord. And he said, Lord, I'm willing to go, but I have some worldly things I just have to take care of first. I love you, Lord. You really come first. But, you know, I have these things that I need to do. Some of us don't serve the Lord because we're occupied too much with the things of this earth. There's another reason why sometimes we don't get more involved in missions. And some people are ones I call the reasoners. They have to reason everything out to make sure that, you know, when my younger son was here preaching, he'd probably been on the mission field more than 25 years, and because I'm really an old guy, so my children are old, you know. And he preached, and the pastor did as he often does. I think we ought to take him on for some support. And when we got home, Bill said, Dad, I never saw anything done like that, okay? Never saw anything done like that. Didn't even have a committee, you know. Does it really fit in with our program? Are we really going to have enough money? Said, I never saw anything done like that. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That God has moved us as a fellowship to do things just a little different. But He asks us this morning to take a little step further. And some of us might be prone to say, hey, maybe we should stop and take a step back. You know, we're not a very big fellowship. I've preached to churches where there were 1,000 people, and sometimes they had to have 2 services. They aren't giving anywhere near what this church is giving. So maybe we ought to think about it a little bit. You know? But the minute we begin to think like that, then we begin to lose blessing. You see? Then we begin to lose blessing. God just always supplies. One of the most difficult things for a Bible translator working with a tribe that has no written language is trying to find somebody to help you. Among the Palawanos, if you could find somebody who would sit for 10 minutes at a time without needing to go out and do something, that was amazing. And so at the beginning, I was going up into the mountains during the day. We were still on the coast, coming back at night. There were many believers, and I was talking with them, and they'd all be happy to give me a word or two, but then they needed to go off. And I thought, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't think there's anybody in this tribe who will sit 15 minutes at a time. And in the meanwhile, we were in this little grass house down on the coast, and a boy came to the house. And he was the son of one of the first believers. And he had learned a little bit of English. Grammar wasn't very good, but you could get what he said. And he said, my father wants me to work for you to learn English and learn about the Lord. And he said, I'll do anything you want. So I thought, wow, somebody to carry water and cut wood for my wife and all of those things, because nothing runs on its own. And so I would go up into the mountains and come back in at night so tired, and he would be after me to learn new English words. And finally, after about a month of this, the Lord got hold of me and shook me. He had to do that a lot. And said, "Child of mine, if you'll stop looking, your help is here." Okay. And over 50 years later, Crispin, now almost as old as me and much older, because tribes people don't usually live very long, still faithfully serving the Lord. Okay. All these years. And God just dropped them right in our lap. Okay. So this morning, we don't really want to be reasoners. Matthew 8, 19 through 20, a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Well, doesn't that sound great? And the Lord said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." He wasn't talking about not really having shelter for the night. He was saying, the foxes all have holes. All the foxes can look at other foxes, and they've made holes, and that's where they have their young, and they all do the same thing. Birds of the air all make nests of some kind. And one bird can look at another bird of its kind, and they're making the same nest. You see, they belong. But the Lord was saying, if you follow me, you won't belong anymore. See, you'll be different than your neighbors and your friends. And people will be saying, "Hey, what are you doing? Doesn't make sense. Think about it." And that's what Jesus was telling this man. Sounds great to say, "I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go. You want me to go, but you don't know where you're going to end up. You might end up giving most of your income to the Lord." This morning, the Lord might want you to take out that little card and put a cross through it, raise it up one line. Now, that doesn't make sense. I mean, everybody knows money is tight now. Everybody knows maybe they'll lose their job tomorrow. And maybe it doesn't make sense to give the Lord a little more than we did last year. That's what the Lord's talking about here. You and I will not live the way the world lives. We will have things that are more important to us. It's amazing this morning how many people will stay home from church when there's going to be a missionary conference. Because they're always asking for money. And they're always wanting people to go somewhere else. But that's missions, okay? It's missions when you speak to your coworker about the Lord, because if they don't know the Lord Jesus, they'll go out into a crisis eternity. It's missions when we go to our neighbor and invite them for the third or fourth time to come to church with us. Mission starts at home and it moves kind of on out. We'll be different, but God will bless us for it. It's good that I didn't bring one of my Palo Alto messages. The first Palo Alto service I was in started at 3 o'clock. I will admit to having fallen asleep, because at 6 o'clock the next morning they were still going strong. Okay. They had found out that Jesus loved them. Okay. Every once in a while I would come into a church, having been away for 4 or 5 years, and look around and I won't see one of those people that were always in the church. And I will ask about them and they'll say, "Well, you know, they're busy." Satan will be after us to quit. And in closing, there was a quitter in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Why did he leave the Apostle Paul? Hadn't gone into false doctrine. He didn't stop believing. I suspect wherever he was, he probably went to church on Sunday morning. But he left the Apostle Paul because he loved this present world. He was tired of being different. We don't want to be quitters. The Lord has blessed us so much. We want to continue on with him. When we first got ready to go to the mission field, besides everybody wondering what in the world I would do when I got out there, they would say, what about the children? Can God take care of our children? No one ever loved their children more than my wife. We went out into an area where there was malaria. You name an intestinal parasite, we had it. There was no protection like police or what have you. If you heard our children get together and talk about Palau, you would think we were living in a park somewhere or a country club, because they so enjoyed what was happening. And today, one of our oldest daughters with the Lord, and the other three are all serving God. What could you want more than that? Okay? Sing that old song, God will take care of you. And he will, Christian, this morning. If you take that step a little bit bigger, go a little further, and God will bless us. We thank him for all he's done for us in the past, and we look forward to greater things in the future. May the Lord challenge our hearts.